to speak something about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But before we go to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, first we have to begin with Srila Prabhupada. Our acharyas, they sing a beautiful song, Jadi Gaurana Hoite Tabeka Hito, that if Gauranga had not come, then what would have happened to us? What would have become of us? What hope would there be for us in our life? In Kali Yuga, we are so weak. In Kali Yuga, we have less intelligence, our lives are short. How much can we practice spiritual life in Kali Yuga? It's very difficult. Prabodhananda Saraswati says, Kala Kalir Balina Indriya Vairi Varga Shri Bhakti Marga Iha Kantaka Koti Ruddha Ha Ha Kvayami Vikalam Kim Aham Karomi Chaitanya Chandra Yadinadya Kripam Karoshi. He says, Kala Kalir Balina Indriya Vairi Varga. First problem is we're in Kali Yuga. Second problem is Balina Indriya Vairi Varga. My mind and senses are completely uncontrolled. Have you noticed? Mind is going anywhere and everywhere. Once I was driving and there was a sticker on the car and it said, do not disturb, already disturbed. So the mind is like that. Mind is going everywhere. Chanchalam Himana Krishna Pramati Balavadridam. Chanchala, flickering, pramati, stubborn, balavad, so strong. Vayu Riva Sudushkaram, Arjun says, more strong than the wind. Then what does I have one? Okay. Okay. Don't make a mistake. Let me give it to the right person. I have to take two. Oh my goodness. Three. I got a bad back, you know. Three.
Go for it.
Soon you won't be able to see me. So Prabhupada Saraswati says, first problem is we're in Kali Yuga, difficult time. Second problem is our mind and senses are always uncontrolled, always agitated. Then he says, third problem, Shri Bhakti Marg, I'm on this beautiful path of bhakti, Iha Kanta Kokoti Ruddha, but they're spiked with many thorns. Even though we're in spiritual life, we're in bhakti, there are many thorns. If we're not careful, Prabhupada would quote the Upanishadic verse that spiritual life is like a razor's edge. You're in the bhakti marg, but if we commit an offense to a devotee, if we're insensitive, then it's so dangerous to our spiritual life. So he says, I've got all these problems. Ha ha kvayami, kimaham karomi, what will I do? How will I attain perfection? How will I really achieve love for Krishna? Chaitanya Chandra Yadi Nadya Kripam Karoshi. I'm going to Gauranga and I'm praying, Kripam Karoshi, just give me your mercy. Otherwise, what is the chance for me? So we need Gauranga. Yatha Yatha Gaura Padara Vinde. If you want to go to Vrindavan, if you want to see Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan, Prabodhananda Saraswati says, Yatha Yatha Gaura Padara Vinde. First you must jump into the ocean of the pastimes of Gauranga, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna Nahi Anya. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Radha and Krishna, but he's come in a very merciful mood. And so as we take shelter of Gauranga and go deep in the pastimes of Gauranga and swim in the pastimes of Gauranga, then eventually you emerge out of the ocean and then come to the shore of Vrindavan where you can meet Radha and Krishna. So if you want to come face, we want to go to Vrindavan, we want to see Radha and Krishna, we want, that is our perfection of life. But then we have to take shelter of Gauranga because Gauranga is very, very merciful. Gauranga is Karuna Avatar. You see, there are different Sanskrit words for mercy. One word is Karuna, another word is Kripa, then you have Daya, then you have Kshama, many words for mercy. But why is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu specifically known as Karuna Avatar? Because Kripa is mercy, but Kripa is mercy that you have to ask for, isn't it? Gurudev Kripa Bindu Diya Koroe Dase, Bhaktivinoda is praying, that give me a drop of your mercy, oh Gurudev. We have to pray. Kripa means mercy, but you have to pray. Karuna means mercy, which even you don't have to pray for, it comes to you even if you don't ask for it. Just like if you're in Mayapur and you want to benefit from Ganga Snan, then you have to go out of your room, you have to walk to Mayapur gates, then you have to go to Prabhupada Ghat, and then go in the Ganga, and then you get the mercy. But when the monsoon, when it's the rainy season, when the Ganga overflows, even if you're sleeping in your bed, comes through, isn't it? Have you been Mayapur in that time when it's flooding? You have to swim to Mangal Arati. And sometimes there are snakes also. Even if you're in your room, the mercy will come to you. So Gauranga is like that. He is going, he is not discriminating. Patra patra vichar nahi nahi stan astan. Je jane paye tane kare prema dhan. He is going with the pancha tattva, patra patra vichar nahi. He is not making a consideration, this is a good place, this is a bad place. Northwood, good. Wembley, bad. Wembley is bad. No distinction. Nahi stan astan, this person or that person, who is qualified, who is not qualified. Kalo sudra sambhava, who is qualified in this age? Kalo sudras, everyone is a sudra. Mahaprabhu was going to kill Jagga and Madai. Nityananda said, if you kill them, you will have to kill everyone because practically everyone is like them. Je jane paye tane kare prema dhan. So that Panchatattva are just going everywhere and they're just giving. So kind, Gauranga. You see, every avatar is coming in their own mood. Ramachandra is Maryad Purushottam, ideal king, ideal husband, ideal son, ideal in every respect. Krishna is Leela Purushottam, such sweet pastimes. You read Krishna stories, you can go on reading so much. So sweet, so nice. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Prema Purushottam. He is giving love, he is making love accessible. His Holiness Guru Govinda Maharaj says, a mango is a mango, but there are different types of mango also. So there is green mango. It's a mango. But the sweetness is not fully coming yet. So Ram is like a mango, he's Purushottam. But the full sweetness of Purushottam in Ram still is not coming out the full because he's Maryad. So he has to follow the rules. He's showing how to follow the rules. So Guru Govinda Maharaj says, Ram is like a green mango. Krishna, he is like a spoiled mango. Black mango. Spoiled. Stealing the bata, stealing the clothes, stealing, stealing, lying. But Gauranga, he is like a golden mango, ripe mango, juicy, just giving juice, just giving prema. So kind. So kind. But how many of us knew about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? We didn't know. Once when I came into the temple, then I was taking darshan, and then there was one family next to me. They were there for first time. So someone, one of their family members was showing them. He said, and here is Krishna, and here is Radharani, and here is Ram, and here is Sita, here is Lakshman, here is Hanuman. And then I was listening. And here is Love and Kush. Really? So I was about to say something, but I didn't. I should have said something. Interesting, huh? People come, but they do not know Gaur Nithai. They do not know Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We did not know. First time when I used to see the picture of Mahaprabhu, I used to think, why? This looks more like Jesus Christ. Like Jesus. Who is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? We did not know. But Srila Prabhupada came. And Srila Prabhupada, therefore, Jadi Gaurana Hoito Vasudev Ghosh sang, and then His Holiness Jayapataka Maharaj, he had another song written, Jadi Prabhupada Na Hoito. Mm-hmm. Yes. What about if Srila Prabhupada had not come? Then what would have become of us? So, Srila Prabhupada was incredible. I'm inspired. Ramanujapu is here, he's a real Prabhupada man. So I feel we should speak about Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada was a guru, but Srila Prabhupada was not just a guru, he was an acharya. You see, a guru makes many disciples. But an acharya is so powerful that they make disciples who then become such powerful gurus themselves. He is able to instill that power. A guru, he will teach his generation. But an acharya, their teachings will be generation after generation. It doesn't matter how many generations of ISKCON we will have, many generations, we will always read Prabhupada's teachings. In the morning, we will always read from Prabhupada's Bhagavatam. Because his teachings are the law books for the next 10,000 years. The acharya is defending, the guru is protecting his disciples, but the acharya is protecting the whole sampradaya and the purity of the sampradaya. So Srila Prabhupada is an incredible personality. I have to admit to you, sometimes in my life I don't always think what would it be like to be with Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan. I don't always think of that, but I do often think maybe in a future life we can be with Srila Prabhupada somewhere. Maybe we could be on the adventure with Srila Prabhupada, who is just going maybe from universe to universe teaching everyone about Gauranga and Krishna. That's exciting. We know more about Srila Prabhupada than even our own family members. I thought about that one day. If someone would ask me about my family members or my best friends, I would be able to speak. But after some time, we may run out of things to say. But Srila Prabhupada, oh my God, we can go for days. How Srila Prabhupada has entered our lives and touched our lives. Srila Prabhupada is so special. Narad Muni was a traveler, isn't it? The eternal spaceman, we say. Mm-hmm. They wrote a song in the 60s. The transcendental spaceman? Mm-hmm. It was called, yeah. Narada Muni Bhajaya Vina Radhika Ramana Nama. He's traveling around the universe, everywhere, place to place, Narad Muni. And who is Narad Muni's disciple? Vyasadeva. And where is Vyasadeva? He is in a cave in Badrinath, and he is writing all the Shastra, compiling the Divider. Interesting how Prabhupada was traveling just like Narad Muni and writing just like Vyasadeva. Srila Prabhupada somehow managed to absorb both things. Generally people are doing one of the two. Either they are Parivrajak, they're traveling, moving place to place. One devotee said, Prabhupada, I just want to stay rooted at your lotus feet. Prabhupada said, it will be very difficult because I'm always moving. The sannyasis are moving like that. No? His Holiness Jayapataka Maharaj was in the Guinness Book of Records, you know that? In 1 year, he took something, 160 flights or something. Something, maybe more. One flight every 3 days, moving. So Prabhupada was just moving. One time they were I think where was Prabhupada? He was somewhere in Europe. And then one devotee came, Prabhupada, they're calling you to Hawaii. Wouldn't mind going to Hawaii. Nice. Get loads of these in Hawaii. And then just after that, one devotee came, you know, Hawaii. So it's like a heavenly planet, mangoes and everything. Then one devotee came and said, Prabhupada, they're calling you to Russia. Take your pick. Russia or Hawaii. Prabhupada said, I will go to Russia. I said, why? Prabhupada said, preaching in Russia is sweeter than the sweetest mango in Hawaii. Mm-hmm. So Prabhupada was just going where there was a need, where there was a call, where there was an opportunity to share Krishna consciousness with others. Just like Gauranga, Prabhupada was not considering, this is a good place, this is a bad place. So somehow Prabhupada, he just touched our life. He came into our life. One amazing thing that Srila Prabhupada did is he made all of these teachings understandable for us. Before I read Srila Prabhupada's Gita, I was 15, I wanted to start reading the Gita. I went to the library and I got 3 different versions of the Gita. I didn't understand anything. When I read Prabhupada's Gita, also if I'm honest, I didn't really understand it either. But when I read Prabhupada's Gita, there was something which told me there's something profound here if I put a little bit of effort. And so I began coming in and speaking to the devotees. And how Prabhupada has so beautifully taught us the philosophy. This is the greatest gift. Srila Prabhupada has made something which is so complex otherwise, very, very easy to understand. Have you noticed generally those who are, we're not criticizing, but those who are generally from Vedic tradition, Hinduism, Sanatan Dharma, they're not clear on what they believe in. Have you noticed? If you ask 3 different people, they will give you 4 different opinions. They each have their own opinion, and when they speak together, a new opinion comes. Everyone has their ideas, what Gita is, what the goal of life is. Still not so clear. But Srila Prabhupada made everything clear. He didn't just get the philosophy right, but he got the philosophy across in a way that people could understand. Hari Bol. Prabhupada told so many nice stories. Maybe today we should speak a little bit about the stories that Prabhupada used to tell. Because Srila Prabhupada told some beautiful stories. One story Prabhupada told was a Christian preacher who was trying to preach to the coal miners. You know this story? So one time this Christian preacher, he wanted to encourage all the coal miners that you must worship Christ. So he went into the dark underground with the coal miners. So then he stood up and he said, and everyone must worship Jesus. Do you all know who Jesus is? And then the coal miners, they looked at him and they said, what's his number? Because in those times, every coal miner had a number. Jesus, who's Jesus? What's his number? Tell us his number. What's his number in the coal mining? You know. So this priest, they think Jesus has a number? He's a coal miner? These guys are... How I will explain to them? No, Jesus is the messenger of God. And if you don't worship him, you'll go to hell. So they said, hell? What's hell like? And hell is dark. And in hell, there's no air or sun or any of that. And in hell it's cold and it's underground and it's underneath the earth. And they're looking around and they're thinking, well... So he thought, how I will get through to these people? And then he said, and in hell there are no newspapers. Oh my God, they said, no newspapers. A place with no newspapers. They said, better we avoid hell, we'll worship Jesus. Prabhupada told that story to explain how a preacher should try to make it relevant to the people. You have to try to connect. Srila Prabhupada, he was teaching the philosophy through all these different stories. Srila Prabhupada was teaching, don't just be ritualistic. Don't just be ritualistic in your practice. He told the story. You know the story of Sargal Singh? Once there was one wealthy merchant. So one day he came into his shop. Many people would come into his shop. So this wealthy merchant came into his shop. He was looking very down. He was all in dark clothes and he had shaved his head. If someone is down, they're in dark clothes, shaved head, means someone, something bad has happened. So the customer came in, he looked at the merchant, he realized, my God, something terrible. He said, what happened? The merchant said, Sargal Singh has died. So he said it so seriously and he was dressed like this. The person didn't know who is Sargal Singh, but he thought, if I ask who is Sargal, it will look bad, you know, how I can ask who is Sargal Singh? So he said, my God, Sargal Singh has died. Terrible. So then he went home, he shaved his head, he wore dark clothes, he was walking around. Then the next fellow saw him, said, what's what? He goes, you don't know? Sargal Singh is dead. So that person, he shaved his head. Finally, half the town was like down, and the king saw, he came out, he says, what's the problem here? He goes, don't you know? Sargal Singh is dead. The king looked at him and said, who is Sargal Singh? He goes, I don't know. He asked the other fellow, who is? He goes, I don't know either. They went all the way back to that merchant. He said, who is Sargal? He goes, Sargal Singh? That's my donkey. So Prabhupada told his story. This is the world we're living in. People just blindly follow one tradition after another tradition. You have to do this. If you don't do this, something terrible will happen. So many superstitions. Mm-hmm. Baba said, you should not blindly follow. You should understand. Prabhupada told so many other stories. He talked about scientists. Prabhupada told this one story of how two people were having an argument over how something should be cut. So one of them said, no, no, knife. The other person said, no, no, scissors. So they were having an argument. No, it should be cut by the knife. No, it should be cut by the scissors. Knife, scissors, knife. So the argument got so heated. Then finally they started fighting. He said, if you don't agree that it should be the knife and you say scissors, I'm going to throw you. He said, you can throw me in the ocean. It's scissors. Then he threw him in the ocean, the fellow who said scissors. And this, he was trying, he couldn't swim, so he was drowning. And as he was drowning, he was shouting out, scissors, scissors. You know how Prabhupada, the moral of this story that he used? He said, this is like the scientist. Till the final moment, till their dying day, they will hold on. No, this world has come from a big bang. No, it's all evolution. No, there is no God. Till the final moment, even when they have been humbled, everything has been taken away, still they will hold on. Sometimes we are also like that in an argument, isn't it? Sometimes you're having an argument with someone and in the argument there's a moment when you realize, oh my God, I'm wrong. Have you ever noticed? But now it's already escalated. So now how you will back down now? So no, you have to continue fighting. The scientists are like that. Another time Prabhupada told another story. He said, there was an article in the newspaper and in the article it said, now we sent a spaceship into outer space and the spaceship, the shuttle, it went right near Mars. There was a big newspaper article, so the devotee was telling, and then the devotee said, and in the article they said they took a scan of the surface of Mars and it's just like Arizona desert. So when Prabhupada heard that, he started laughing. And then he said, I'll tell you a story. And he said, there was one man in his home, and this man was sleeping in the middle of the night. And in the middle of the night, he was sleeping, and then he heard some sound. In the middle of the night, if you hear some sound, someone's in the house. So he said, "Who's there? Who's there?" And then the voice came, "I'm here, but I'm not stealing anything." Prabhupada told his story. So he said, because he is a thief, already he's revealing. He cannot help but reveal. He's saying, "I'm not a thief. I'm not stealing anything." That means he's a thief. So Prabhupada said, they are saying they went to Mars and it's just like Arizona desert. Therefore they have revealed that actually they did not go. It's all staged in Arizona desert. Even Prabhupada said, "No, moon, did they go? Did they?" Mm-hmm. Later on, so many theories. So Prabhupada told all these amazing stories. Science, about human nature. Prabhupada told stories about politics. You know, Prabhupada once he told this story about India and Pakistan and how the British divided. You know what he said? He said once there was a cat. and then there were two, I think it was...
Monkeys.
Yeah, there were two monkeys. And they were arguing...
One monkey.
It's one cat and two monkeys. And the two monkeys were arguing over a cake. Who should have the cake? So the cat said, no, I'll help you. Let's split it in half. I'll split it in half and then you have half each. That's a good deal. So the cat came along and then the cat split the cake in half. Okay. So then they were all three looking at the two halves. And the cat said, no, I don't know if it's absolutely equal. So let's put on the scale. So then they put, and then one was a little heavier than the other. So the cat said, no, one is a little heavier. So let me just eat part of this cake just to balance it out. So then the cat ate part of this cake. And then the scale went like this. He said, oh, no, just one more adjustment. Now the other one is too heavy. Let's eat a bit of that one just to make it balance. And like this, the cat ate this one, then this one, then this one, and everything left. They could not say anything. So you know how Prabhupada used this story? He said, just like the British, they divided India and Pakistan. They came in to say, like, we will be the mediator. We will be the ones that help. And what was the net result? The British made both of them lose out so much war, so many problems, so many difficulties. Amazing how Prabhupada connected stories, huh? Such a genius. One thing he couldn't stand was laziness. So often he would talk about laziness. He would... one time one Mayapur manager, he said... He was promising, yes, Prabhupada, the construction will be done, nothing was happening. To do construction work in India, difficult task. Prabhupada wanted it. Then Prabhupada one day said, you all are giving so many promises, and then he said one line. Big, big monkey, big, big belly, still on jumping, melancholy. Everyone started laughing. But no one understood what it meant. What does it mean? Big, big monkey, big, big belly, still on jumping, melancholy, Prabhupada said. So Prabhupada said, you're laughing, you know what it means? He said, no, we have no idea what this means. Then Prabhupada explained, Hanuman was heroic. He was big. He had big stature, big belly, but he could also do big task. He could jump from India to Lanka and save Sita. All the other monkeys, they may also have big body, big belly, but they cannot do what Hanuman does. They're giving so many, but they cannot do, only Hanuman can do. So he said, you all are like these small monkeys. Big words, saying so many things, isn't it? Sometimes you meet people, so many big things they say. But then, do they actually do? So Prabhupada said, big, big monkey, big, big belly, still on jumping, melancholy. So So many stories Prabhupada had. I'll tell you one final story and then maybe we can hear from others. Prabhupada told the story of Haridwar Basta. You know the story of Haridwar Basta? You don't know the story? Prabhupada, he just laughed and laughed when he told the story. So once there was a student and he was in his university, so he had to go and sit the exam. So he had to write the paper and, you know, the answer paper. Hey, Nila Prabhu.
Hey, Maharaj. How are you both?
Nila Prabhu is the happiest person I've ever seen.
No,
there's never a day where he's, he's always laughing, happy. Prabhu said, Vaishnav means always jolly. Thank you. So this this person, so he had to write the exam. So anyway, he gets into the exam. So he opens the exam paper. And then there is one question. Who is Haridwar Basta? Haridwar Basta is a famous king. So the question was on the paper. Who is Haridwar Basta? So this person, he's in the exam. He has no idea. Who is Haridwar Basta? So he's thinking, what will I do? I don't have anything, but I have to write something. So Prabhupada is telling this story. So he's in the exam, he has no idea who's Haridwar Basta. So then the student, you know what he does? On his exam paper, he begins writing. Haridwar Basta is a dobendi, lactilized by the plactony of Tinder. Prabhupada was laughing when he told this story. Haridwar Basta is a dobendi lactilized by the plactony of Tinder. So basically what this person had done is he knew nothing. Who is Haridwar Basta? What is this guy? He thought, I have to write something. So he just wrote up a whole paragraph of all of these words that didn't mean anything. Then finally it came to the examiner, and the examiner was looking at it, and he looked at this. Haridwar Bastana is a dobendi lactinized by the plactony of Tinder. And he's thinking, this guy doesn't know anything, but he's so ingenious, he's juggled the words so nicely, I should just pass him. And in that way he passed the exam, even though he spoke such nonsense. So Prabhupada said, this is the world we're living in today. People, they speak so much nonsense, but they do it in such an ingenious way that ultimately everyone accepts it. There was one PR person, he said, Goebbels, he said, if you tell a lie, tell a big lie. Because if you tell a small lie, people will say, no, I'm not sure. But if you tell a big lie, people will think, no, he couldn't lie about that. It must be true. And they will just accept it. So Prabhupada said, that is the word. Even 12th canto of Bhagavatam is saying, in this Kali Yuga, one will be considered learned if they can juggle words nicely. So like this, Prabhupada told so many beautiful stories. We could go all night speaking Prabhupada's stories. This was Prabhupada's great compassion, that he made something which is so high, so incredibly elevated. Srila Prabhupada just made it accessible for all of us. One time, Brahmananda Prabhu, he was early disciple of Srila Prabhupada. So he was speaking in Vrindavan on the Vyasasana about Prabhupada. And so he was speaking, glorifying Srila Prabhupada, his love for Prabhupada. And then one person put their hand up in the audience and said, Brahmananda Prabhu, the way you speak about Prabhupada, for us it seems to you like Prabhupada is God. And then Brahmananda Prabhu stopped and he said, No, Prabhupada is not God. At one point, we had some philosophical misunderstanding that Prabhupada is not God. And then Brahmananda Prabhu, he said, you know, but nowadays I think Prabhupada is greater than God. Because Prabhupada came to the Lower East Side to save me. And then he just began crying. And he said, Prabhupada just came to the most alien place. And Prabhupada just taught Krishna consciousness and gave knowledge about Mahaprabhu, who is the key for everyone in Kali Yuga. So I know today you asked for Gaura Leela, and I have just prepared the ground, because there's no Gaura Leela without entrance to. Entrance to Gaura Leela comes through Prabhupada. When we go to Vrindavan, it's very nice because there is a Prabhupada gate. And not only is it a nice gate, but I think it's very, very symbolic. Because it means unless you go through Srila Prabhupada, you will not get there. You will not get there. So, first we approach Srila Prabhupada and take his blessings and guidance.